Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000. And we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We've got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Tuesday morning. We'll open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, there's still a lot of talk in the streets about the Chicago Bears and the NFL draft. It's funny, I was talking to my cousin Wiley yesterday, talking about the draft. He just got back from an excursion in India. Why was he in India? We still don't know why, but he was there for 2 weeks having a good time in India, and he was just kind of catch up on all the news that happened with the Chicago Bears. And so he's a huge Bears fan, as you well know, and there's still conversation about what the Bears were able to do in the draft and then what the aftermath is for this Bears team.
Everybody is so excited. Like last year, they were like, didn't have a great year. We're going to trade the maybe the number one pick. Maybe we'll draft somebody. A year later, the amount of talent that has been added to this football team, and to have Caleb Williams, he's at the Laker game, and people are, well, got back to California quick. Mm-hmm. He is such a popular person, and he's ours. It is literally unbelievable to see the perception of the Bears today versus what it was 12 months ago.
You're talking about a star even before he puts on the Chicago Bears uniform because of what he did at USC. I can't accentuate the point more, Cap, that when you are a USC quarterback or you play for USC, it's almost like you're in the pros. Yes, college and pro are different, but in Los Angeles, USC is their football team. It's not the Rams, it's not the Chargers, even though they put some skins on the wall over the years. The point is, though, is that in USC, that is the pro team. And so Caleb Williams had a big spotlight on him. He's part of that Los Angeles circle like he is part of the Bears circle because of his years at USC and because of his accomplishments at USC. I just think it is interesting because there are some that are still not sure. In our conversation I had with Wiley yesterday, there were some people that chimed in and said that they're not sure about the Bears or they're suspicious about the Chicago Bears because they have not seen it yet. We've had some calls here yesterday say, well, you know, it looks good on paper, but, you know, but what's going to happen? Well, we can't tell you what's going to happen on the field yet because the season doesn't start until September.
Correct.
We can't help you there.
Our guy Paulie called in, calls show all the time. Down in Palm Beach, he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, they're going to be under 8.5 wins.
Okay.
And he said, everybody's running to the window to bet on the Bears. That's the first sign. Vegas is going to get killed if they don't, if they go over. Okay. Those are, the sharps haven't started making their wagers yet. I think the number's going to go higher. I do. Unless they have a horrific run of injuries, God forbid, they will be better than they were last year when they were 7-10. Mm-hmm. They will be. That's just my opinion. Yes. I think they've got a lot more talent. I like their system, and I like what they're doing.
It's all based on what you have in your depth chart as well. I just think it's interesting. The more and more we talk about the Bears, the less that some people don't remember what the process was like for the Bears 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Unless you became a Bears fan this year, I can understand maybe you don't know the history.
Mm-hmm.
No one's asking you to be, you know, this Bears historian. No one asked you to be Larry Mayer. No one asked you to be one of these people that know chapter and verse about the Chicago Bears history. However, we're just talking about 5 or 10 years ago about how the infrastructure was for the Chicago Bears and how raggedy it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we'll just use John Fox for an example. How is it that the general manager and John Fox are not on the same page when it comes to Mitch Trubisky? How's that happen?
Right. You look back through,
come on, Cap.
Through time. How could you possibly be sitting in the building and going, all right, we've got down the hall over there Bruce Arians. We got down the hall over there Mark Trestman. What sane human being walks out of those two rooms and goes, I'm taking Trestman? Really?
Right. Yeah.
In this town especially, Bruce Arians would have owned this city.
Sure.
With the Kangol hat and the Crown Royal. Oh, my God. To Ryan Pace, can't trust his coach to tell him who he's going to draft, so he does it in secrecy, and he picks the wrong guy. But how did upper management, like, Pace is the guy you hold responsible because he effed up the pick.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact. But how did his bosses, Ted Phillips, who's now retired, hope you're enjoying retirement,
mm-hmm.
and George McCaskey, you're telling me they had no idea? They had to be have kept apprised what was going on. He wasn't rogue. So how did they not say, hold on a second, Ryan. If you can't trust the coach that you're employing,
yes,
then we've got real structural dysfunctional issues going on here, because I want everybody, this is a franchise defining pick here, and it turns out you left the Hall of Famer on the board and you hired a guy who's Chicago to Buffalo to Pittsburgh back to Buffalo and is a career backup now.
Yes.
So that falls at the feet of not only Ryan Pace but Ted Phillips and George McCaskey. How in the hell can you keep making those mistakes? And finally, Ryan Poles had the temerity to go into his interview and go, I would like the job, but it's going to get ugly. We're tearing it apart.
Yeah.
And that's the only way you're ever going to get this thing right.
But the Pace example that we just cited was commonplace at Hallis Hall. Cap, you didn't have to be there on a microphone to find out what was going on. You didn't have to be there in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You would hear things. I would hear things. Hey, there's a disconnect between Ted Phillips and the head coach, or Ted Phillips in the draft room, and Ted Phillips and I, or McCaskey in this and that, all that kind of drama, that vicious cycle of nonsense that would happen at Lake Forest all the time.
Right.
So that shows you, if you want to know why a team is bad or not being able to achieve their goals, usually look in the standings. Look at the underachievement. It's because of the front office not being sound. We only tell that story to be able to push it forward here to 2024 and say, Cap and I and the rest of us here at ESPN 1000 are not telling you about drama within the organization, because there is no drama within the organization. It's Ryan Poles' show.
It's
George McCaskey, who's the same George McCaskey he was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, shaking hands with the fans right there as someone you would think that would hide, right? Like, oh, you know, I don't want to be around these fans. He's one of us in so many ways, in which he's right there in the tailgate. He's right there talking to the fans at the game. Usually owners are in their box. They don't want to be bothered. They're just with their group, with their circle.
He's in the south lot over there.
He's with everybody, shaking hands. And just, you know, right there when we go to training camp, there he is on his scooter. He's getting his steps in. He's amongst the fans.
When we pulled up there last summer to do the show, there was George in his walking gear, like his Bears gear. And he's getting his steps in. Yeah. Hello? And he keeps going.
Keeps moving.
God bless him, man. The guy takes care of himself. He's in good shape for, and he's in his, what, 60s?
Yeah.
Looks great. But I still want to go back to, you ran, I mean, younger fans can't believe this. They didn't have a GM. You laid that out for us last week.
Mm-hmm.
They fired Jerry Vannesi, no GM for an entire decade. Okay, that didn't work well. Now they hired Jerry Angelo. They can't figure out the quarterback. They move heaven and earth to get Jay Cutler. Do they get him a top receiver? No. Six offensive coordinators or whatever he had. Ridiculous. Just every way you could screw things up, they did. And now one dude rolls in from Kansas City. It's just, it's my show or I'm not taking the job, because I got an interview in Minnesota tomorrow.
Because it's clear, Cap. It's just a clear situation. It's not murky. It's not, is the finance guy, does he have a say in it? Does ownership have a say in it? Of course, George and ownership have a say because they're presiding over this. They're the owners. I mean, but then you have Kevin Warren and you have Ryan Poles, and it's their show. And so the reason why that I'm excited as a Chicago Bears fan is because there's no drama. There is a clear line of where the Bears are trying to go. They're trying to get to a Super Bowl championship. And yes, it's the first time that we've seen the Bears actually for real tank. We've seen horrible Bears teams. Bears teams that you see after they break training camp, you say, yeah, look at that roster. That team's not going to be able to beat Green Bay or the Lions or the Vikings or Tampa back in the day. They can't win in the same division. It's not going to happen. But I'm excited because it is different than what we've seen in the past. Look at what they've been able to build, not just through the draft, but through free agency. Now, the other side of it, Cap, is it all depends on how this all works. There's an excited side of me, and there's a suspicious side of me. The suspicious side is what I've told you before we even got to free agency. I told you this at the end of the season. I said, Cap, it is a rookie quarterback. It's going to be Caleb Williams. You said that for 4 months, correct?
Correct.
It's going to be Caleb Williams. I said, but it's still a rookie quarterback. He is going into this draft, the best quarterback on the board. That's why the Bears took Caleb Williams, because he's the best quarterback on the board. But I said that there is going to be there has to be a connection quickly for this to work with the rookie quarterback Caleb Williams and Shane Waldron. You know how we drag offensive coordinators around here over the last 25 years. You know how we say that offensive coordinator doesn't work. They need to fire this guy. How come the offense doesn't work? Okay, so still with Shane Waldron, just because he fixed Geno Smith and turned his career around doesn't necessarily mean that this guy is, you know, the next offensive guru. We don't know that yet. We have to see it on the field. So the only reason why I'm suspicious on that side of the ledger is the rookie quarterback and Shane Waldron. The rookie quarterback has more weapons than even C.J. Stroud had last year. He has a tight end, and he's got three wide receivers, Cap. He's got two or three new offensive linemen that have come in. They can't all play together, but the point is, though, is that there was upgrades there. It has to work as a cohesive unit. And so that's why I'm like, okay, let's see how this works. You have the people in place. How does it work? That's only fair to ask. It's only fair.
It is.
Think about all the rookie quarterbacks, even with Andrew Luck. We should compare that, by the way. Andrew Luck in his first year, his weapons versus what Caleb Williams has.
I'm looking it up.
So, Cole Kmet at tight end. You have got Rome Odunze. You have DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. I mean, that's a ton right there. So, just think about the weapons that are there. You are hoping that if Ryan Bates is a center, that he can be the quarterback of this offense and be able to not throw a ground ball to short, that actually it will get right to the hands of Caleb so he can operate.
Correct.
Like a real center.
That is correct.
So all I'm saying is the suspicious side of me is like, how does this all work? I would say that the defense with Montez Sweat and that group, I think that if you're adding a little bit more seasoning to that, that defense should be ready to cook. The offense, though, I still wonder about.
You mentioned all the snaps coming back.
Yeah.
So I had lunch with Olin yesterday, and he said, go back and watch the postseason for the Chiefs. Creed Humphrey, in the Super Bowl alone, had a bunch of snaps that were coming in low off the ground, wide right, wide left. He said, but you know what the difference is? Here in Chicago, when it happened, it was like a massive deal because our offense wasn't very good. He said, when you got the guy back there, Mahomes?
Yeah.
I got you. Scoops it off the ground, high right, high left, low, center, whatever it is, I got you. He said, and Creed Humphrey's a good blocker. Mahomes is comfortable with him. Guess what Creed Humphrey's going to get? Paid. Mm. Paid. But if he was here, yeah, he'd be like, huh, what is with these bad snaps?
Yes.
He said it's who you got behind it. Shea, you've got the Andrew Luck weapons as a rookie?
Yeah, Reggie Wayne, Donnie Avery, and T.Y. Hilton were his leading receivers. Colby Fleener and Dwayne Allen at tight end. Running game really doesn't matter because they never had one with him because their offensive line was atrocious the entire time he was there.
Got killed.
Who was their running backs?
Vic Ballard, I don't remember. Donald Brown.
Robert Hughes.
Mwelde Moore.
Mm-hmm.
DeLon Carter and Robert Hughes.
Yeah, I remember who was the one, the Donald Ballard. He had a few games where he's like, oh, where'd those 180 yards come from?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, compare what Luck had in his first year to what's, you know, because here's what we're hearing. We're hearing like this is the most weapons for a quarterback since Andrew Luck. on paper, who it seems better. Like, I mean, who doesn't like a T.Y. Hilton, by the way, and a Reggie Wayne?
Yeah, Reggie Wayne's a Hall of Fame level player. T.Y. Hilton was a solid player.
Mm-hmm.
But DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Roma Dunze, Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, DeAndre Swift, Khalil Herbert, Roschon Johnson?
Pretty good, kid.
Pretty good, kid.
Just interesting. It just what I'm saying is that with this offense, that's the only thing that I'm wondering about is, like, how does Waldron work with this rookie quarterback?
I also went back and looked at Green Bay. And again, you know I'm a fan of Jordan Love's. He's a really good football player. Had a really good year. The Bears roster may not have Green Bay's depth because their GM's been there a lot longer and been doing it a lot longer, so he's had a chance to accumulate talent.
Yeah.
But the depth chart, the Bears roster's better.
Than the Packers?
Yes. Yes.
Your neighbors won't be happy with that.
I don't care.
My God.
I'm going to wear my blue and orange in Wisconsin this weekend, and I can't wait to say, take that, Green Bay.
Okay. You know I'm not there to protect you, right?
Correct.
You understand that. You, I mean, you could say
that.
I was
in the gym yesterday. I'm good.
Okay. That's fine, but it's not me.
So you're a bigger man and a tougher man than me.
I'm just saying, like, you might have been in the gym, but and I might have got my steps in yesterday, but it's not the same.
But Friday, when I go to Jerry's Bar,
yeah,
I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to be wearing my Bears gear. Chasing greatness, baby. Let's go.
I'm glad that you go to that bar early enough, because if it was late and you wore that, you'd be knocked on your ass. Some jackalone. Bears suck! Yeah!
Bam.
Someone taking a swing. Howard, need some help.
Howard Ankin, 3126 million for the great Howard Ankin. I got punched in Wisconsin. What were you doing? Telling Packers fans to take that over drinks?
That's going to be a tough case.
Yes.
So I don't know if they'd want that.
I'm not licensed up there. Go find another intern.
Are you more excited or more suspicious about the Chicago Bears and everything they've done? Let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. If you're on hold, you will be on the air as we talk Bears with you on the home of the Bears.
By the way, I did get pulled over in Wisconsin. And I'm thinking, can Enken do a speeding case up here? No. So I called Craig, our boss. I got a ticket. Greg Rothstein. Here's his number. Okay. I'm like, Rothstein sounds like my guy.
Oh, yes.
And he got me off.
Yeah, it does sound like your guy.
I had to pay a hefty fine.
Uh-huh. Does sound like your guy.
84 miles an hour was not cheap.
It's deserved.
Yes.
We're taking your phone calls on the Bears coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
And Jay Hood are back.
We are back, baby. We are back. We're back. Yeah. Classic.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Here's hoping that you're going to have a great Tuesday. We'll hear from Connor McKnight coming your way at 7:50 on the Red Hot White Sox. Shout or no shout at 8 o'clock right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number.
Red hot.
You read the papers. You read the papers, don't you?
I do.
Okay. You know what's happening over there.
Dog night last night. I wanted to bring our dogs. My wife had to work late.
It's the Sox. It's dog night every night.
Wow.
As we talk to you about the Chicago Bears, are you more excited or more suspicious about the Bears as we take your phone calls, as we go to the phone lines to talk to you? We will say hello to Joe in Portage, Indiana on Cap and Jay Hood. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm very excited about this upcoming season. The Bears have been, in my opinion, I know he's retired, you know, enjoy retirement, but a lot of this issues rely in Ted Phillips' hands ever since 2013. I feel like he played a crucial role in making the wrong decisions. Do you guys remember in 2015 where they had the arranged marriage of Ryan Pace and John Fox? Ryan Pace did not hire him.
That's
that was
correct.
An arranged marriage.
Yes.
Okay. And so it was reported that Ryan Pace went to Ted Phillips to try to let him go because it sounded like he wanted to hire a Shanahan-type coach to pair with Mitch. And that was denied. So he was forced to keep John Fox for the 2017 season. Now, he made some bad decisions, i.e. hiring Matt Nagy, hiring the wrong type of coach for Mitch, and then trading all draft capital for defensive players when they could have been used to help the offense. So that is on Ryan Pace. But I feel like it all stems higher. And as soon as Ted Phillips retired, I had a gut feeling that the next president would have been right, and Kevin Warren was a right hire. I mean, I'm a big Ten fan, college and pro, college basketball, college football. Kevin Warren was the hit, and he's allowing Ryan Poles to do his thing. He's giving Ryan Poles that autonomy, and that is why you're seeing a big difference with the Bears and how they're being perceived nowadays.
Well, I hope you're right, and we appreciate your call. I really liked that Ryan Poles was honest in his interview. He had other opportunities. He interviewed the year before with other teams, didn't get the job, got another year with the Chiefs, another year of success, and then he was going from his interview in Chicago, he was getting on a plane and going to Minnesota. And everything I've heard was, if he doesn't get hired in Chicago, he's taking the Vikings job. And George smartly, very smartly, picked him up at the airport and said, we're getting this deal done. What's it going to take? And Polian had said, you guys have to completely clean house. Because there had been talk, George wanted to kick Pace upstairs because he liked him and thought he could provide value in other areas, not running the being the GM anymore. And Polian said, no, you got to clean house. You got to get them all out of here, coach, all of it, and let Ryan Poles build his own staff. And that's what he did.
As far as the president of the Chicago Bears, Kevin Warren, is concerned, Kevin Warren is not there to be able to make draft picks.
Correct.
Now, I'm just going by our previous callers talking about Kevin Warren's time in the Big Ten. You've heard exactly what our last caller said about Kevin Warren. You've heard that there's some that just did not like his tenure in the Big Ten, that some in the Big Ten were happy to see Kevin Warren go to the Chicago Bears, which is fine. Kevin Warren is in here to preside over the organization and to build a stadium.
Correct.
That's what he's here for. And he did it in Minnesota. That's why he was a perfect hire here, to make sure the stadium is built. Kevin Warren is not using this job as a stepping stone. He actually wants to see the Bears win, but he wants to be able to clean up the organization. When you have that, the type of communication that he had, talking to everybody, not just the people we talk about on the air, like everybody in the organization, what can we do to be a better organization, more efficient?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've seen quotes already of saying that, boy, you talk about Kevin Warren coming in like a whirlwind, how the mood changed at House Hall with him in it, businesslike, trying to figure out how to be a better organization, trying to build an organization in his image. Says a lot. Says
does,
a lot.
Does.
But not as a football guy, though. That's Ryan Poles' job. He's not there trying to be able to make change as far as the roster is concerned, and thank goodness.
No, but they're trying to put a support system together where, okay, we are going to draft the number one quarterback. We have to vet him on every level, and then we have to vet Drake May and Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix and Bo Nix and all these different dudes. And then they had, which I've not heard of a team doing it, they had this, you take the wide receivers and you tell me why we should take a wide receiver at number 9. They were already locked in on quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Shea's got the defensive back. Tell me why we should take a corner and be as compelling with your arguments. And then they weighed all the evidence.
Sure.
And that's how they settled on, we're taking Roma Dunze if he's there. I just like the process, because there's been a billion articles. They didn't even have dinner with Deshaun Watson. They didn't this with that. They didn't do this with Patrick Mahomes. Whatever it was.
Due diligence.
Do your due diligence. And if it doesn't work, you don't look back and go, God, I should have done that. They did everything. If this doesn't work, you get back on a horse and swing again. They're not going to close the franchise down, but at least feel like you did it the right way.
312-332-3776 is our telephone number. In Brooklyn, New York, listening on the ESPN Chicago app, here is Derek on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Derek, good morning.
D, what's up?
Yo, good morning, Cap, Hoodie. What's crack-a-lackin', fellas?
How awesome was that Thursday night?
Yo, how awesome, man. Listen, I was jumping up and down for joy in the bear cave downstairs, you know what I mean, in the house, and I was going nuts. My wife was like, what's going on? I said, we finally, I think we got the franchise quarterback who we've been trying to get for years upon years. But let me make a comment, and I'm gonna ask a question. Nah, no ether. We good.
Took the foot off the gas. All right, go ahead. Yeah,
no, but listen, I am so proud of George McCaskey, and I'm gonna tell you why. He finally, after so many years of doing it the wrong way, he finally came to the realization with all of the good people in his ear that he finally got it done the right way, and he's staying out of the way. And the hiring of Ryan Poles, and then bringing, even though we didn't like the fact that we hired the general manager first, then hired the team president, that was a little bit out of whack, but it's working out, and we finally have the upper management situation the way it should be, and the right decisions are being made. And another thing that I'm so happy about when it comes to the Bears organization is the draft capital now. All the sacrificing the first round picks for the Khalil Max, the Jay Cutlers, the whoever else is. Now when we finally go into these drafts in the future, we can finally draft the next best player available, because we're going to be so good at all the positions with the depth chart and everything. When we do have these upcoming drafts in the future, if we do choose to make a particular trade, it's not really going to kill us like how it was killing us in the past. So we're going to be able to get the good players like the Chiefs and the Eagles and, you know, all the upper echelon teams. We're able to draft players the way that we need to draft and not having to sacrifice, you know, for the greater good, because we have what we need. And I'm just very proud of the way the organization is finally shaping up. This is all I've been wanting for years upon years, especially living in where I live at. You guys know I'm in Brooklyn, NYC.
Yep.
And I got to hear from these corny-ass Giants fans all the time. And I got to hear about the 2007 and the 2011 Super Bowl. But you know what? They can't say nothing now. Yeah. They can't say nothing now.
Okay. Nope.
And one last thing, fellas.
We got to go, man. Go ahead.
Real quick. I hope the Bears can be like the Eagles. What I mean is, you see how the Eagles drafted Jeremiah Trotter's son?
Yep.
I hope in a few years we can get Brian Urlacher's son from Notre Dame. Go Bears, bear down. Love you guys. Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
All right. Have a great day, D.
All right. He's talking about my Giants now. Be careful. Okay. Elon, he was pretty good. Okay. He's pretty good. Okay. All right. Coming up, who is the hottest?
Like Fred Sessa, baby.
Who's the hottest team in Chicago sports? We'll talk about him next on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Cubbies bounce back from being no hit into the eighth with a game tying run in the eighth inning from Nick Madrigal before Christopher Morel uncorked a game winning bomb off Edwin Diaz in the ninth for a 3-1 win in the series opener with the Mets.
Okay.
Cubs improved 18 and I believe 11.
18-11 is the record. 18-11. Go ahead.
He has 18-1.
It's 18-11.
Yes.
Yeah,
game two of the series is tonight at 6:10. Jameson Taillon with 7 2/3, 4 hits, 1 run. That was the leadoff home run in the bottom of the first from Brandon Nimmo. White Sox dropped to 6-23 with a loss to the Twins yesterday, 3-2. Game two of the series tonight, right here on ESPN 1000. Pregame with Connor at 6. Connor will join us here on the show at 7:50. LeBron James and the Lakers eliminated from the playoffs by the Nuggets last night. It's only the second time in LBJ's career that his team was eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
Right.
Tonight, the Knicks will look to eliminate the Sixers. The Pacers will try to wrap up Milwaukee. Cleveland and Orlando also play in that series, tied 2-2. Arlington Heights Mayor Tom Hayes says the Village is still open to working with the Bears on a new stadium if the Bears receive a no on their plans for a stadium on the lakefront. Jay Moore.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Appreciate you guys. I listen to you streaming on the ESPN 1000 app.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Dear Lord. Dear Lord. Dear Lord.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're going to have Shot or No Shot coming up at 8 o'clock. Connor McKnight with the latest on the White Sox in our next segment. The hottest team in Chicago sports, Cap, is the 18-1 or 18-11 Chicago Cubs. First place in the National League Central as you open up the paper this morning.
That is correct. The Brewers lost 1-0 last night to the Tampa Bay Rays. And that, combined with the Cubs come-from-behind win over the Metropolitans in New York, takes the Cubs into first place by half a game. Today is the final day of April. You realize they could have 19 wins at the end of April? Right now, the high water mark in all of baseball, I believe, is 19. Cubs are at 18. One win from having the most wins in the sport with a ton of injuries.
All right, that's
Thank
enough.
You, Jay Moore. That was awesome.
Thank you, Gary Pressey, if you're around. I would tell you, Cap, that it's no surprise this veteran observer of the baseball scene. Me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
A playoff team is supposed to be 19-1 after today's game. That's what a playoff team's supposed to do. But seriously, though, there's some resolve there with the Cubs because of the storyline you just laid out.
Mm-hmm.
You have a litany of injuries, but yet you're still on top. Now, I will say this with perspective. The Cubs were able to win series against the Rockies, Los Angeles Dodgers, Seattle Mariners, Arizona Diamondbacks, Houston, and you split with Miami. Those are the series that you've won already in the month of April. And I told you, especially when we start hearing about the starting pitching injuries, I said, deal with this now. Go through it now. You don't want to deal with this in August. You don't want to deal with this in September. If you're going to go through injuries, go through it now, early. Because you didn't know. I mean, you and I looked at the roster and said, it's good enough to get to the playoffs. I don't know what happens when you get there. That was my prediction last year, that mm-hmm. the Cubs would be a playoff team. But I would say that it's a feather in their cap that they can play this well with the amount of injuries that they've suffered. So that says a lot.
Yeah, and they've gotten some good news this week. I believe it's tomorrow night. There'll be a Justin Steele start in the minors, a rehab start. And if the hamstring feels good, the arms feel good, he'll be ready to roll and then come back to the Cubs. He hasn't pitched since opening day.
Some of those are on marquee, by the way. I see it pop up like, is that a Cub minor league game? Huh?
Yeah.
Turn it on.
Yeah.
Let's see what's going on.
Yeah. I watch some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to get Bellinger back, you would hope, fairly soon. A little bit after that will be Seiya Suzuki. They got to make sure that adductor muscle that he pulled is healed up. It's the second year in a row he's had to deal with this, so that's something he's got to manage going forward. Merriweather is not far, they said, away from getting back on a mound in a rehab assignment. But if this continues where they're finding ways to win, like Hector Neris, I tweeted last night, bullpen's going to drive me to drink on a nightly basis. Two walks again in the ninth. Eventually, yeah. Those are going to beat your ass. But if they can continue to play solid baseball and get their guys back, then it's incumbent on management. I don't want to hear about budgetary this or we can't afford that. You know, Waddle wanted Jordan Montgomery. I'm not hell-bent that I had to have him. I need an elite closer that's out there. That's where I want it. To keep my powder dry for. And if one is there to be had, whether that's the A's trading Mason Miller, who throws 103, that would be pricey to go get. But there's got to be a guy like Chapman came available in 16. You just got to wait until those teams fall out of contention.
For the rest of the series against the Mets, it's Assad, who I like a lot because he's an innings eater, just solid. Just a fifth starter or a long man. Either way, he's going to give you 5+. So I like him, Imanaga, and then Brown. That's the rest of this series against the Mets. And then you take on the Brewers for 3 at home, and then the woebegone San Diego Padres after that. So you've got an opportunity here to just make some hay. But again, what's impressive is you do this with asterisks. You're doing this with key injuries. By the way, because there is no... because of the injuries that he had, especially with Bellinger, mm-hmm. that's when I expect Morel to start cooking here and others to be able to step up. Hey, man, you're healthy. So, I mean, next man up, right? No Suzuki, no Bellinger. Here you go. So that was a step in the right direction for him last night.
Yeah, that was a huge opportunity for him. He's been struggling mighty, like 8 of 56 or something, really struggling. And I'm looking on social media and all these You know, Cubs fans, get this guy in the minors. He can't hit. He's killing us, blah, blah. He's not going to the minors right now with Bellinger and Suzuki and all these guys down. And Edwin Diaz, when you pitch from behind in the count, you don't have your full complement of pitches. It's 3-1. He's not going to throw a splitter that gets in the dirt. And all of a sudden, he's got multiple base runners on. Morel was ready for a high fastball at 98. Bam! Mm-hmm. 400 plus. See you later. Thanks for coming. Have a good day.
I'm a fan, as you well know.
Oh, was he pumped running around the bases?
Yeah, because it's been a minute, by the way. It's been a long time. Early April, so that's last time we had a home run in a big spot. So, good for him. Craig Counsell talking about the Cubs win yesterday.
I don't think we exactly opened it up. We scratched across a run, really, with just, you know, kind of making contact and moving some guys forward. So, you know, he's got good stuff. He pitched a really nice game. You know, he was ahead in the count a ton, controlling at bats, and both pitchers were super tonight. J-Mo was, you know, up to the task and matched him really, and that's impressive because that was two pitchers on top of their game. Just the weak contact. So it's weak contact just in the strike zone, kind of on the edge of the strike zone. But they know he's going to be, you know, around the strike zone, and that gets swings. And he just kept them off balance. And, you know, Lindor hit a ball pretty good. There was a ball in the gap that Pete ran down. I think McNeil hit. But, you know, there was a lot of weak contact as well. It's a credit to J-Mo. So you're in it, you know, you're no matter what's going on, you're getting no hit. It doesn't look good, but you're one run away from it being a different game. And we got a great pitching performance tonight that fortunately got us through the other team's great pitching performance.
A credit to Jay Moore. Is that what he said? I think that's what we heard there from Craig Counsell.
Did he say that?
I think so. I think that's what he said.
About that?
Jay Moore. Oh, beg your pardon.
That's Jameson. Tired.
Oh, I see. All right.
But Jay Moore, you did a hell of a job too, man.
Thanks, Greg.
I'm sorry.
All right. Coming up next, we talk about a team for all the haters out there.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
Connor McKnight next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Welcome back to Cap and Jay Hood. You're officially locked in.
Throw your hands up in the sky.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We'll have Shot or No Shot coming away at 8 o'clock. Albert Breuer with the latest on the Bears and the NFL draft at 8:35. Time to go to the hotline.
That'd be the CarX Tire
and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
And Connor McKnight brought to you by Access Community Health Network. At every age, through every stage, Access Community Health's network is your family's medical home. Connor from the White Sox Radio Network is with us here on Captain Jay Hood. Connor, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How we doing on this fine Chicago bright day?
Well, thanks for joining us after that introduction. Well, you stretched that out. doing fine. Thank you. I know you're talking to an older show, but you can speed it up a little.
Do you understand me, you ancient men?
Yes, we do, sir.
Excellent.
I want to get your thoughts about Crochet last night, 7 strikeouts through 5. What do you like most about his stuff, and he reminds you of blank?
Ooh, I love the last one. Give me a second. I'll work on that. I like most that he's able to work on the stuff. If you look at the pitch mix last night, I think it was 5, maybe 6 sliders, and one of them went for a dinger, a two-run shot by Carlos Santana, who was a 2009 Carolina League All-Star, by the way. I don't know if you guys knew that. But I like that he's able to throw the changeup as often as he was last night. I like that we're kind of going to adapting the pitch mix a little bit. He's got such a talented arm. He's got such a... For a 6'8" guy, like such a repeatable delivery, it feels like that he can kind of mess with the finer point, despite the fact that he's so young in his starting pitching journey. And I think that's going to pay dividends for him down the line. Obviously, the fastball plays. I like that we're messing with the shape of that, adding a cutter and a wrinkle. I think it's really cool to watch kind of like the development of a starter under live fire in the major league. Is it unconventional? Yes, absolutely. But that's fine. This is where this team is. And I think more than anything, I like the fact that Garrett's got the mental game to kind of make these adjustments as we go. As for who he reminds me of, it's tough to say because, you know, you could it's an easy comp to go like Crochet or to go Sale, mm-hmm. but Crochet's so big, he's so muscular, he's like a power forward, and Sale was just kind of like me, like wispy and thin. If you turn sideways, maybe you lost track of him, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's a Crochet's a big dude. He's got a lot of power.
In terms of looking at where this team has headed, nobody projected them for greatness. Even Chris Getz, when he was on, had said, this is a process here. And there was an earlier cut that we play where he goes, I don't like our team, when he started putting it together. So it's not as though people are surprised they're not good. My problem, and I watch every pitch of every game at home. You're at the ballpark. Hoodie's in his hood cave watching. I don't want to watch 36-year-old Tommy Pham and 35-year-old Robbie Grossman. I don't. I would rather see, if you tell me Oscar Colas has any future, he may not. But I want to watch all the young guys play and see what they can develop and then start adding on. I don't care about veteran guys to make you less than decent. Do you understand my point?
I do. But, Cap, as a Cubs fan, you know that Luis Valbuena turned into...
Oh, he turned into Dexter Fowler.
That he did. And I think...
Rest in peace, by the way, Luis Valbuena.
What? Say it again?
Rest in peace, Luis Valbuena.
No! Did we lose Luis Valbuena?
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to kill him if he's alive, but I believe he did die.
If he is alive, $20. A $20 fine.
He passed away in 2018.
Thank you.
There you go. There's your save.
Really dark, really fast. Yeah. I adored Luis Valbuena's game. I had no idea. Either way, that is the tightrope. Boy, I kind of walked myself into radio hell here, didn't I? This is the tightrope that you're trying to walk, right? I mean, are these guys veterans? And I'm not trying to necessarily comp the 36-year-old Tommy Pham to where Valbuena was at that point, but these are the kinds of players, and those are the kinds of deals, and that's the kind of development slash future asset hoarding that you're trying to balance some, right? I think, given where the entire organization is at right now, in terms of player asset-wise, those are the kinds of trades that you've got to try and identify. I think it's difficult to watch in terms of a long-term sense, you know, playing some of these veterans, but I don't think it's very long before some of those veterans turn into younger players within the organization. I think things go right. You're going to see Brian Ramos. You're going to see Colson Montgomery. And those are going to be your long-term future pieces. With the rest of them, I think those are the kinds of way you try to identify how you bridge from this to next, right, from 24 to 25.
Connor, when you look at Andrew Vaughn scuffling in the month of April, he had two hits and an RBI yesterday. What is the perfect placement for him in the lineup for a player of his skill set offensively?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily where you're at in the lineup for Vaughn. I think it's where he's at with his timing right now, Hoodie. I think, you know, with seeing him the last 5-6 days, you know, going through that series against the Rays, from at bat to at bat, from swing to swing at times, the timing for Vaughn looks a little bit different. He took an 0-2 pitch and laced it out to right field for an RBI double the other night. And the first two, he looked completely befuddled. Like, the timing, it just wasn't there. Luis Robert can kind of do the same thing. And I'm not comping the two players, you know, skill set wise necessarily, just in terms of you can kind of look lost on two pitches and then regather yourself. P. Javi Baez would do that every now and again, too. Mm-hmm. And I think I'd like to see a more consistent timing structure for Vaughn at the plate before you really start to identify where in the lineup he needs to be. I mean, listen. The Sox have kind of had to piece together their 1-9, you know, with guys like Danny Mendick and Tommy Pham. And you know, it's been difficult with the injuries and the underperformance. So I think you kind of have to go more granular with where guys are at right now. If you're not Pedro Grifol, if you're Pedro, you got to do the work, and he definitely is. But if you're just kind of looking from afar, I think being more granular and looking for individual player dev is kind of more important than exactly where he hits.
Connor, have a wonderful day, man. Hope you got to bring your dog to the game last night. That's a cool promotion, man. I love that thing. Have a wonderful day.
Dog Night. You got it. You too.
All right, be good. Connor McKnight on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Clock is whack.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Coming up, shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.